Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the ChessOne Group conference call presenting the results for the 9 months of 2014. I leave the floor to Mr. Philippe Denery, Chief Financial Officer of ChessOne. Sir, please go ahead.
Well, thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. I will start with a summary of our results for the first 9 months of 2014. Then I will be happy to take questions. Let's start with looking at audience figures. During the first 9 months of 2014, the group has achieved strong ratings, although there are now 25 free-to-air channels. It has strengthened its leading position with a consolidated audience share of 28.8% of individuals, stable year-on-year. At the end of September 2014, the group's audience share reached 32.6% of women under 50, a 0.3-point increase year-on-year. This performance is the result of continued innovation and an effective programming policy on our channels. The TF1 core channel audience share of individuals recorded a 0.2-point increase year-on-year, reaching 22.9%. The channel is the only major historical channel that managed to increase its audience share. During the first 9 months of the year, the audience share of women under 50 reached 24.9%. The TF1 core channel has succeeded in widening the gap with its main competitor, both on individuals and women under 50. TMC and NT1 showed resilience on advertising targets, with their audience share of women under 50 remaining stable at 3.6% and 2.8% respectively. HD1 almost doubled its audience share at end of September 2014 with 0.9% on individuals and 1.3% on women under 50. Now let's turn to group revenues. Overall group consolidated revenues for the first 9 months 2014 reached 1,463 million euros, up by 1% year on year. Total advertising revenues for the group decreased slightly by 0.6% to end of September 2014, reaching 1,093 million euro. Free-to-air TV advertising revenues for the group to end September 2014 were stable, 1,026 million euro. After a 1% decrease in the first half of the year, free-to-air advertising revenues for the group grew by 2.6% over the third quarter. Volumes of advertising broadcast on the group's channel have increased thanks to higher than expected demand over the quarter. However, in the market, prices have remained under pressure, with offers still superior to demand and with competitors having increased significantly their volumes and of advertising broadcast over the quarter. The retail, food, cosmetic, cleaning and travel sectors increased their gross advertising spend over the first 9 months of the year. The car industry and telecom sectors were slightly down in gross terms. Advertising on other media in the broadcasting subdivision to end of September 2014 reached 56.5 million euros, a 1.2% decrease year on year. This was due to the lower advertising revenues at Metro News, offsetting good performance by our third-party advertising agency. As far as other revenues of the broadcasting and content segment are concerned, non-advertising revenues for the broadcasting subdivision to end of September 2014 amounted to 59.5 million euro, down by 6.3% year on year. Interactivity revenues were indeed lower, due to a change in the programming and the removal of one game in the afternoon. Revenues for the content business to end of September 2014 came to 79.1 million euros, up by 31.9 million euros year on year. This increase includes the recognition of 30 million in revenue from the resale of rights of the 2014 FIFA World Cup to being sport booked in Q2. The consumer product segment generated revenues of 140.7 million euro to end of September 2014, down by 5.1 year on year, impacted by TF1 Video, which is evolving in a very tough market. With the same perimeter, Teleshopping managed to increase its revenue over the first 9 months thanks to the positive impact of the renewal of its product mix that started in 2013. TF1 Entreprise revenues are up by 2.1% over the first 9 months of the year, especially thanks to the music and exhibitions departments. The pay TV segment generated 93.5 million euro of revenues during the first 9 months of the year, down by 5.8% compared to the same period last year. This decline is entirely due to a drop in advertising revenue in the light of the current difficult economic context and the increased competitive pressure from DTT free-to-air. Now let's turn to the cost side. The cost programs or programs for the four free-to-air channels of the group for the first 9 months of the year amounts to 721.5 million euros versus 691.2 million euros a year ago. This, of course, includes 73.7 million euro related to the Football World Cup, which has been broadcasted during the second and the third quarters. Excluding this major sport event, the cost of programs of the group decreased significantly by 43.4 million euros at end of September, of which 15.4 million euros of savings linked to the programs replaced by the World Cup. In Q3 2013, the cost of program reached 208.9 million euro, a 9.2 million increase year on year, but this includes 18 million euro of costs linked to 7 games of the World Cup broadcast over the quarter. Excluding this event, cost of programs for the quarter is therefore down by 8.8 million euro year on year. Other operating costs include depreciation, amortization, and provisions amount to 709.4 million euros at end of September 2014, up by 5 million euros year on year, a 0.7 increase, but I remind you that the group has booked 60 million euros of costs linked to the rights of the World Cup that has been resold, partly offset by the reversal of a provision booked in Q4 2013. During the first 9 months of the year, the group has been pursuing the implementation of Phase 2 of the optimization plan, which has been launched in 2012. On top of the 10 million euros generated in H1 2014, the group generated an additional 9 million euros of recurring savings in Q3 2014, 4 million of which related to the cost of programs for the TF1 channel, and 5 million which related to productivity efforts. The group is therefore on track to deliver on its commitment to finalize the phase 2 of its optimization plan at end of 2014, with 10 million euros of recurring savings to be delivered in Q4. Current operating profit for the first 9 months of the year amounted to 31.8 million euros, down by 20.8 million euros. For Q3 2014, the decrease of current operating profit was limited to 2.4 million euros year-on-year, reaching 7.6 million euros, including the cost linked to the Football World Cup. Consolidated net profit attributable to the group to end of September 2014 was 343.2 million euros compared to 61.7 million euros year-on-year. I remind you that it includes the results of Eurosport International for the first 5 months of the year for 16 million euro and the gain of 299 million on the sale of a controlling stake in Eurosport to Discovery Communication on May the 13th, 2014. As the group was cash positive during the first 9 months of the year, the cost of net debt to end of September 2014 was in fact 0.7 million positive profit. And the group's net cash surplus stands at 436.3 million euro at end of September. So as a summary, I would say that the third quarter has been characterized by a strong audience share, both on individuals and advertising targets, higher than expected TV advertising revenues during a quarter that is usually low, the cost of the final games of the World Cup, and recurring savings delivered in the frame of our optimization plan. In terms of outlook, the third quarter doesn't change our view of the full year. First of all, the visibility over the rest of the year remains low in terms of TV advertising. Secondly, the capacity of free TV players to increase volumes during the fourth quarter is more limited. And finally, the competitive intensity should remain strong on the markets. Well, that concludes my review of TF1 results for the first 9 months of the year. Thank you again for having joined us tonight. Should you have any questions, please do not hesitate to ask. And finally, I would remind you that a recording of this conference call will be available, and you will find the connection details on our website, group-tf1.fr.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Charles Bedwell from Exane BNP. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for the crisp and the short presentation. I have a couple of questions. The first one relates to what you've been saying about the volumes capacity now constraint and the price, I would say, discipline in the market. Do you think that, you know, as we arrive to a limited incremental capacity, this could, you know, push players in the market to be a bit more, I would say, rational on prices? And I know here we talk about the market, not you, so it's more a view than official guidance, of course. That's my first question. And the second question is, you've been delivering well on cost for the, you know, for the past years. You obviously have a, you know, continuation of the plan, but can you give us some clarity where, or some details where you think you can continue to improve next year, you know, within the plan, and maybe also where do you see incremental potential scope for further improvement in the cost base? So again, not a guidance, but, you know, indication of where you think you guys could continue to deliver. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Charles, for your question. Just the first question, volume capacity. Yes, there are less flexibility, especially in Q4 or on specific part of the year. There is less flexibility in terms of volume, which may give some opportunity in terms of stabilization of the price or even more. Nevertheless, the economic context is not very good for the moment. There is no significant improvement. So there should be a more rational from all players, but remain very sensitive and in a economic context which for the moment remain not very good or improving. So that for the second question, on cost, we expect to deliver our 10 million recurring savings in Q4. There, of course, is more and more difficult to find additional savings because, of course, the last one even more difficult than the first one in this kind of process. We will have to be more flexible, try to find now more tactical savings depending on the economic context and the advertising market, and that's probably what is on the agenda for next year. But there is not, or on the agenda, we don't have a phase three or equivalent to what has been achieved in the past. What we have to go further is optimization, especially on programming costs, and what we're working on is more flexibility on all costs in order to continue to deliver better profitability.
Okay. Thank you very much. Just a very quick follow-up, if I may, just on the first question about ad trends. You know, when you talk about the uncertain economic environment and, you know, the demand, which is still relatively subdued, where do you see the most risk? I mean, we're hearing some, you know, categories, maybe the big consumer product categories trying to reduce their marketing spend. I mean, do you have any, I would say, type of clients where you will be, you think there are more risk than others? Can you give us a bit of color here, please? Thank you.
Well, I wouldn't say that there is a specific sector because the global economy is the same for all our clients. So I don't think that our agency is not giving us any kind of feedback on a specific sector. They are all very tight on their budget, and I mean they are just the same kind of environment, global environment, so no specific sector.
Okay, thank you very much.
A question from Lisa Young, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. The first one is on advertising. You said that Q3 advertising was a bit better than what you expected. Just wondering what has been driving that and what was the boost from the World Cup. And is it possible to have a number for October? Because I understand visibility is limited, but I think on October we could have a bit of flavor. My second question is on the programming cost. So it looks like in the first 9 months you saved about 43 million. I think about 21 is kind of non-recurring, so ex the programs replacing the World Cup. So how much of those 21 million will come back in Q4 or maybe 2015? I also remember you talked about tactical savings, about 10 million, which you did in 2013, that you expected to come back. So just wondering if you still expect that to come back this year or maybe next year. And my last question is on Eurosport International and the uses of cash. What are your plans, you know, regarding the remaining stake in Eurosport? And I think you said you would give us an update by the end of this year on use of cash. So, just wondering if you could give us an update today. Thank you.
Good try for the last question. On the first question, advertising, well, of course, we had the World Cup, which has helped in July, but, you know, in terms of volume, even if in terms of pricing it could help, in terms of volume, there was seven match during July. So figures of the Q3 is not only impacted by, of course, the World Cup. August is good and positive. And so globally, I would say that there's been, I mean, though this quarter is, as you know, low as compared to the others. So by definition, any change is more significant as a basis is lower. So basically, we benefit as well from the fact that Q3 is low as compared to the others. But yes, it was a bit better than expected, and probably due to the fact that it has been low, we had some audience which were quite positive, and we benefit from the ratings we've enjoyed, especially on TF1 during this period of time. Concerning the tactical savings and this 21 million euro, which comes in addition to the previous 10 million euros we had last year, we will invest and reinvest part of it in Q4. We will limit or we will not invest the whole tactical savings we've done last year and this year. We will try to reinvest not too much and keep those tactical savings for the moment. But we have, of course, to take into account the tough competition in terms of ratings, and especially for NT1 and TMC. And in those channels, we have to be quite aggressive. And we have put new programs recently on NT1 as well. So all, I would say, part of it will be kept and normally reinvested in 2015 if the context is a bit better. And we will limit, as far as possible, reinvestment in Q4. But don't expect those savings to be able to remain by the end of this year, because part of those 21 million will be reinvested in Q4. Now, concerning the Eurosport, we have not for the moment taken any decision on the 49% stake. We are quite pleased with what has been achieved now for the last few weeks, months, in terms of synergy and the strategy of discovery. And on the use of cash, no decision for the moment, and we've not been addressed the issue for the moment to our board, and that will be, and we will come back in February 2015.
And the figure for October advertising?
Well, we don't give any figures on a monthly basis, just because you can see even for Q3 doesn't reflect any trend or give any kind of indication. But I would say October is just in line with what is our outlook for the year, meaning that no change in the trend or anything in October specific.
And when you say no change in trend, you mean broadly basically flattish if you look at your nine months?
No, the outlook is coming from agencies, advertising agencies. Avas, I think, has published -1.3, and Zenit is -1 for the whole market. So that's what I'm talking about in terms of trend for the whole year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
A question from Conor O'Shea from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good evening to everybody. Just a few questions from my side as well. Just to come back on the costs, specifically on the World Cup costs, 73 and a bit million. Could you just go through it again, the component parts, because I was under the impression that it would be higher than 80 million as a whole, and that it would be more like one third of the costs in the third quarter, so a significantly higher amount than 18 million. So if you could just go back from the 130 million cost of the rights plus production costs, less resale, and less what you have provisioned already in 2013 would be useful. Secondly, on LCI, the fact that you have decided to delay the restructuring plan while you're waiting the decision in terms of the appeal of the CSA ruling, and I think you're trying to negotiate some extension of the carriage contracts, but is there a risk that the losses from LCI will be significant in the first half of 2015 while we wait for that decision on that ruling? And then the third question, just more broadly, I think during the quarter there was some press coverage of the fact that you are part of a European alliance with ProSieben for media for equity deals. And I'm just wondering, could you elaborate a little bit more on this and what we could expect and what you may do differently in the coming years?
Well, thank you for your question. On the first question, we have paid 113 million euros right for the World Cup. In addition to that, we had 4 million production costs. Now, out of those 130 million, we have booked a value of 60 million of match which were not broadcasted, and we remain with 70 million for match 28 match which have been broadcasted in June and July. Out of those 60 million euro rights value, we have sold for 30 million euros to beIN Sport, and we remain with losses which was 30 million. Out of those 30 million losses, there has been a provision of around 20 million which were booked in Q4 2013. Concerning what has been broadcast, 28 match, the value of the rights are 70. In addition to that, 4 million which are production costs. On those 70 million, there's been 18 in July, and the remaining part was already booked in Q2 with a proportion of production cost which has been in proportion to match out of 28. Out of this, we have a replacement program because when we have broadcasted those match, we had not broadcasted what we have done last year. And the value The replacement program, or what we have not broadcast, was evaluated to 15, meaning that last year, the same time, instead of match, we've broadcasted a value of 15 million of film series and so on. So the net impact of what has been broadcasted is 73.4 minus 15, remain with 58. And that is the net impact of the World Cup on the grid, on the programming cost this year, to be fair, and net. And net value, sorry, just to be clear.
Just one quickly on that. Did you say 60 million is the value of the games not broadcast, of which 30 million were resold and 20 million were provisioned last year? Is there not 10 million missing somewhere?
Well, the 10 million are this year in Q1.
Okay.
We booked last year around 20, and the rest has been provisioned in Q1. Yep.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay. Now, so your second question was on LCI. Mm-hmm. Yes, we've decided to wait for the Supreme Court decision, and depending on what the decision will be, to look at what the regulator decision, final decision will be. In terms of impact for next year, I would say that we expect to continue with the existing situation. That means basically that the losses to book for next year should not be higher than the losses which has been which will be the losses of this year. And I can only remind you that last year LCI losses were 7 million euros. So that's what we can say on LCI, and we will depend on what the decision of operators will be and the decision of the Supreme Court in 2015 and the timing of the Supreme Court.
Okay.
Now, concerning the last question, yes, we have signed an agreement with other TV in Europe and with ProSieben and other TV like Mediaset. In order to develop media for equity, we have been through the process already, and we've done already a few deals on media for equity, but we think that we can benefit from joining a European group in order to offer larger inventories on different markets in cooperation with other TV. We expect different things on this. First of all, we expect to be more closer to some startup and companies in technology, in different business and new business, which will be some opportunity for us to know better and share with them. We also will share with other TV in Europe on those different issues. And we also, of course, will benefit from upside and possible upside from the equity stake, always minority stake, we will have in those companies. So we think that it's an opportunity for us, both in terms of strategy, in terms of move, in terms of cooperation with other TV, and we will benefit from some know-how, even if we have our own view on this, and we have started to do so a few years ago, but we will benefit from the complementary know-how of ProSieben and others.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
A question from Patrick Rollins, Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. A couple of questions. Going back to advertising, do you want to give us a sort of feel for the mood of advertisers? I think Maurice Levy once famously said, if you advertise on TV and cut the price, you'll always sell stuff. So could it be that in a difficult economic environment, that could actually be quite a decent environment for a TV broadcaster. And just referring to your remarks about Avast there, I mean, broadly speaking, that would imply that having done 2.5% advertising growth in Q3 against an easier comp, you'd need to do -4 in Q4 to get to a sort of -1-ish figure for the year. Is there any real reason why you should do that? Are you just being very cautious? And then finally, just going back to cash returns, can you just, without sort of anticipating what you're going to say in February, reiterate what your broad preferences for cash usage are? Do you want cash to pile up on the balance sheet? Would you rather use it in acquisitions? Would you rather use it in returns, whether they're one-off or dividend? Kind of what's your order of priority? Thank you.
Yes, well, thank you for your question. Your last question first, in terms of cash, we will, well, the board, it's a board decision and we'll submit to our board later on, beginning of next year. What is our preference? There is no issue in terms of being cash positive as a principle or reason, because for the moment and because of interest rate, keeping the cash on the bank deposit for a long time is not the best way to manage the cash of our shareholders. So it's definitely the last priority. In terms of the two others, yes, we give the priority of acquisition or organic growth, but all the needs we may have in the next couple of years, the resources we will need to develop the company, which is the first priority. Now, it's not necessarily acquisition or big whatever, but it's how we will manage and what kind of resources we will need. That could be for technical investment, that could be for different reason and organic growth as well as external growth. But that's a priority. And at the same time, the second priority is that we should give the remaining amount of cash back to our shareholders, which have been trusting the company and the management for long. And so that's part of the our second priority. Now, concerning Q4, we have not given any guidance, and when I'm talking about -1, -1.3, those figures are coming from advertising agencies. We are not given any guidance for TF1, even if, of course, we are part and quite part of the market. Now, what I'm just saying on Q4, we may be too cautious, so that's we don't think, when we give our view, it's not because we think we are cautious, because we may be cautious in principle, I don't know, but that's not because I'm cautious. I'm just saying that Q4, in terms of volume, is tougher, because in terms of basis of comparison, volumes were quite high last year, and is if you look at the performance of the different actors on the market in Q3, those performance were partly or greatly due to the fact that we have all increased the volume more in the competitor side than TF1, but we have played with volumes. The capacity to deal with additional volumes in Q4 is tougher for all of us, and the inventory in Q4 available compared to last year is limited additional inventory. So that's what I'm just pointing out, and we'll try to do our best for Q4, but less way to maneuver than in Q3. And the macro has not improved for the moment. We'll see before Christmas, and that could change, and that we will see in the next few days or two couple of weeks. Concerning now the first question about the mood of our advertising client and the feeling we have, I would say that as compared to other moment or period, I would say that they are not in negative mood concerning TV and concerning they are just, of course, concentrating on their business. And as you know now, Q4, and I come back to this other question, is for some of them a way to adjust also their profitability and their own savings and advertising budgets are part of their costs. Q4 is looked at a bit differently as the other, a quarter, and that's something, of course, which is quite important for them. So that's what I can say on your first question, the mood of our clients.
That's great. And just quickly, looking at Vivendi, they seem to be being relatively strict on cost since the arrival of the new management. Would you say there's a little bit of price discipline breaking out amongst TV companies at the moment in terms of advertising rate?
No, I wouldn't say so. There is no basic comment I can make on this. I have no specific comment. They are just compared to us, nothing to say. We'll see. Vivendi is not for the moment. We don't see any change.
Thank you.
A question comes from Anne. Please go ahead.
Hello. Oh, hi. Hello. Catherine from Citi. A couple of questions. Firstly, on LCI, I know you touched on it earlier, but I just wondered why you changed your stance on that, because prior to the decision coming out about the conversion to free-to-air or not, you said you may consider closing it, so I just wondered why you changed your stance on that. And whether there's any other assets that you would consider disposing of or that aren't necessarily core. Secondly, I wanted to ask about retransmission fees, something that has been talked about quite a lot in the UK, and actually France is a market within Europe where pay TV penetration is actually relatively high, so I wondered if this is something on your agenda. And finally, if you could just provide a bit more colour maybe on TMC and NT1 and what the potential benefits are from January of the consolidation, and if you've looked into that further. I know previously you said you couldn't quantify it, but I just wanted to know if there's any update on that.
Well, thank you for your question, Catherine. On the first issue, LCI, I think we have been through the process, and if there is no way out or no solution, we will keep with the same philosophy. There is no issue keeping a business which is not have no future and no profitability. Now the question is that we have been through the process. Our regulator has decided not to give us opportunity. We've been through all the reason for that, and we feel that there could be a possibility to go on with the process, hoping that we can have a business which should be part of the company, and we'll see if we have the opportunity to go free-to-air and to compete with the others on something which makes sense. We will do it. So there is no change. There is probably on the timing, on the result of the CSI position, there has been some move, and say we have to do our best and to keep on with as long as there is a chance to be free to air one day or another. There is a process which is long with justice and legal issues. The Supreme Court has said that they would, and I just refer to the Supreme Court position saying we will give a decision in beginning of 2015, probably first quarter, and in the meantime, that should be continuing the business just to wait for our decision. So we are just implying and taking the consequence of the position of the Supreme Court and to be consistent with the whole process. Concerning retransmission fees, it's not on the agenda today in France, but of course, we are just very interested in what is done in UK, in Germany, in other countries in Europe. We, of course, it's a sensitive issue. It's not on the agenda today, but of course that could help if other countries are progressing. And I don't think that in terms of regulation in our sector, France will be the first of the class in moving on regulation. But I think that's something which could be looked at a European level, and we will see what will happen in the other countries. Concerning TMC and T1, your question was benefits we can expect from commitment or the end of the commitment we have taken. It's very early to answer a question, and I'm very sorry not to be in a position to give a lot of information on that, because I would like to give information and would like to have some information. But the rule is very strict, and we don't have any possibility, any right to go very far in terms of understanding a bit more how they sell TMC and T1, the agencies sell their inventories, what is their commercial strategy, and so on. We would like to do so, but that's not possible. So in terms of benefit, we may have some benefit in 2015, but definitely not on a full-year basis, because, of course, that will end by 27th of January next year, and then we will have to look at it to implement then something in terms of organization, in terms of selling process new, and that will take some months, and then delivering maybe second half of the year and a full year in 2016. So that's the situation, and definitely there should be some benefit. But valuing those benefits without knowing or having some interesting information except what is public, which is not enough to elaborate the strategy for the moment, would not be serious on our side to give any kind of specific feedback.
Okay, thanks. Actually, one more question on pay TV. I noticed that the profitability in the quarter improved year on year. I just wondered, is there something specific there, given how weak that part of the business is?
Well, that is mainly due to cost, because there's no significant improvement in terms of advertising revenues. But we could, in Q4, especially on Eurosport, improve the profitability because of the lower cost and rights we had in the first part of the year and we didn't have. So those are adjustments in terms of rights and costs for Eurosport France mainly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A question from Lloyd Edison, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi there, it's Laurie here. I think that was me, so I'll go ahead with my questions. The first one was on programming, just to on program costs for the full year. You did $947 million last year. If we add on the number you just gave for the net costs, which is $58 for the World Cup, and then deduct your $7 million of recurring savings under the cost plan, that brings out a figure of 998 for the full year. Is that the right level, or should we assume that what you were saying in terms of tactical savings means that there still is a little bit to go below that? And the second question is just on the scale of the M&A that you mentioned that you were considering. Now, I was just wondering whether you would be considering acquisitions and a inorganic strategy outside of France in terms of either pay TV or free-to-air or content. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your question, Laurie. Well, in programming costs, yes, your calculation is right, except that I would answer, yes, that should be a bit below. Except that you probably have the value of the World Cup. That means basically if you come from 946 and you had minus 10, which are basically
phase two and saw recurrent savings back to 936. Then you had your World Cup costs, 74, and now you deduct replacement program and some of those additional savings. So basically, when you were talking about 998, yes, it should be below because we will keep some saving, technical savings, but not so much because a good part of it will be reinvested in Q4. Concerning the scale of M&A and what we there is no specific scale, but we know what are our resources and what we can contemplate. The issue is that today there is not a question of being French or outside France. The question is, and especially if we look at content or digital, because we look at it or we think about it globally, both in terms of content as well as in terms of digital, technical, and so on, web. Now, if the question would be, do we intend to invest in free or paid TV, traditional TV, abroad, in principle, I would say not. That is not under on the agenda, or that's not part of our strategy, except if there is a real opportunity. But we have always said for years that we don't see too much synergy between free-to-air TV in different countries or pay TV as well. So that's what I can say in terms of strategy and investing and acquisition.
A question from Julien Roth, Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. My first question is on the contemplated change in regulation about co-production and getting a share of that in the outer years. If that was implemented next year, when would be the first impact on the P&L and whether you could somewhat quantify it? That's my first question. The second question, again, on regulation. On Thursday, the 23rd of October, Jean-Marie Beffara, which is a rapporteur spécial de la Commission des Finances sur les médias, said he was in favor of adding 2 4-minute ad breaks on France Télévisions between 8 and 9, which would bring 100 million of revenue for them over the whole week, which obviously wouldn't be good for you. Is he isolated? Do you feel there is momentum behind that? What's your view on that?
Okay. On the last question, yes, there are always people looking at the way to put additional advertising on France Télévisions. We wouldn't understand at this stage in the context, and when we have our regulator, which has considered that launching LCI in free-to-air, starting with zero in terms of, or a few million in terms of what they come from, and the capacity for them to step-by-step increase their revenues on the advertising market would be detrimental for the whole market, doesn't seem consistent, as the regulator has expressed it, with reintroducing advertising after 8 on France Télévisions, because, of course, the impact would be significantly higher and immediate as compared to what we intend to do with LCI. So it's always an issue. It's come back every year with the financial law and the possibility, but in the context and in the context of the advertising market, we don't think that is consistent with decision which has been taken both by the regulator or which has been said and declared by the government. Concerning the change in the regulation, we are talking about the decree which would apply to the law which has been passed last year, December, and which would give us some rights in French drama. We are expecting the decree to be taken hopefully before the end of the year. It's under consideration of our regulator for the moment, before being signed and decided by the minister. We can't expect any impact probably before 2018. Now, there is a time to produce and the time to broadcast the two run, or at least one run, and then the time to resell the other rights and then to get the benefit of it. So that's the timing. In terms of magnitude, that will depend on, of course, the percentage of rights we will have, and that will depend on the decree. But I remind you that we are talking about 75% of a global amount yearly of 150, that the value of third, fourth run are significantly lower than the first and second run. And so we are not talking about a three, as you said, a three-digit figure, and probably we're talking about a few million, but that is some impact on the profitability on the long term. But that is something which will come in 2018 and which gives some value in terms of assets, because those rights are for long or forever.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci.
A last question from Chris Jolaine, HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks guys for taking my question. First one, getting back to the media alliance thing you discussed earlier. Can you maybe remind us about the current regulatory setup? If I remember correctly, you cannot give companies where you own an equity stake a bigger sort of discount than you give regular advertisers in that category. Maybe you can spill out a bit more, you know, how the process works for you within the alliance setup. Then second question on pricing. I mean, if what we're hearing is sort of correct in terms of volumes being pushed, also Q4 started very well with both you guys and M6 almost being sold out. So we're kind of seeing, we're approaching a bottom on the pricing side. At least that's my assumption. Is that something that you're seeing as well? I mean, if you cannot push volumes further, you should at some point, given that demand will probably come back, see a push on the pricing side. I'm just wondering what your view is on that, also for the current quarter. A question relating to the outlook in 2015. I mean, you've kind of hinted at, you basically have been saying for the past couple of quarters that you cannot really specify an impact on the Salesforce merger. But when I'm kind of thinking about the current setup, I mean, you do expect that you will have an impact, presumably. I'm just wondering in terms of the timing. Is that, we know the nothing is going to happen until the 27th of January. How quick do you think you'll be up to speed? Will we basically have a full impact from H2 already, or is this a thing that might take longer? Just maybe reminding us a bit of the complexities you do expect to find. Thanks.
Well, thank you for your question. Well, in terms of the alliance and the media alliance in terms of advertising, yes, we have to apply rules which we have to apply for all clients. So we would value the advertising or the inventory as a counterpart of the equity at a price which is a market price and which will be the fair price. So that is the rule, and we will apply it. Now, we have to, of course, select the right companies, the right startups, the right business in order to get value from the equity and the development and the growth of those companies. And of course, we have internal team to look at it as an investment for the value of the advertising, which is on the market price as a counterpart. Concerning pricing, volume, yes, the volume are high in Q4, what should be high, but they were quite high last year as well. Now, you have always to take into account, of course, the mix in terms of the day, access, prime, and so on, which, of course, talking about volumes, talking about as an average, is, of course, by simplicity and value and normal and consistent, but, of course, there could be a few issues relating to move depending on the time of the day. The real leverage in terms of pricing when all the inventories available will be bought basically will come from the global economy and the environment. Even if you can, of course, expect to have a better value if there is more demand, that the principle and the theory in terms of the economy, but the offer is large. The price pressure remains strong, and the capacity for all actors to really have some value, additional value, will probably come more, as we said, from the economy and a better economy and environment for our clients. So concerning the third question, in terms of timing, first of all, in terms of range, I just remind you that those two channels, TNC and T1, roughly, we're talking about in terms of magnitude, we're talking about €150 million revenues, and we can, of course, expect some benefit and directly in the profitability of the group. But that's the basis on which we work to try to develop synergies, even if there could be some additional synergies on costs as well, especially on programming, not on general expenses, but there could be some benefit of it. But that is the magnitude. I just want to remind you the global amount of revenues for those two channels. In terms of timing, full benefit could be expected on a full-year basis for 2016, just because even if there should be some impact in the H2 2015, as you know, the process is a yearly process. And the yearly process is to give the framework of terms and conditions of the different agencies, advertising agencies, every year in October or November for the following year. We have passed this opportunity for 15, so we will apply it hopefully next year or 15 for the whole framework for the different channel. But we can't expect full benefit of it on a half year basis. We expect some, but full year or 16.
That's clear. Maybe two follow-ups, if I may.
Yeah.
First, on the getting back to the media for equities. I mean, if I'm thinking about it in an international context, obviously one idea is to give startups that cannot afford the rate card prices or even prices with high discounts access to advertising. So other players, theoretically, maybe excluding the UK, could just give it away for free if they wanted to, and that's something that clearly you cannot do. Maybe you can share some insight into the potential impact you still see, given that you can basically not do whatever you want in terms of the pricing side. Do you still view it as interesting from a discount perspective to really having this have an impact on your business? And then maybe an additional question, actually, to LCI, and just maybe a clarification. You said earlier that you'll continue as you currently do, expecting sort of losses in the same scope that you expect this year, something around in the range of 7%. But that's assuming, just to be sure, that you will keep the distribution side going, and this won't end on January 1st. Is this something that you're certain on? So because otherwise, I think you'll probably lose some, I don't know, 20-30 million in revenues from the distribution side. So I just wanted to be sure on that one. Thank you.
Yes. Well, on Media for Equity, I'm not sure I understand your question, because for us it's exactly the same as in other countries. Of course, there are a few rules, but I mean the issue for those startups that they don't have the cash today, and they have not the financing for advertising on TV when they could benefit for their business from that. So basically what we are offering is inventory at a value which is a fair value, especially in France and as other TV, a fair value, and they don't have to finance their advertising and marketing and advertising campaign. They just have to give us a stake as a counterpart of what we give them in terms of inventory for evaluation, which is fair, which is discounted, as for other companies, and depending on the sectors, we would apply terms and conditions and fair terms and conditions. But so as we see it, I don't think that there is a significant difference with other TV in Europe. They are doing the same. And they are not giving their inventories for free, but they are just saying that they have value, and we have some benchmark with them in terms of value of those companies, which helps all the media partners just to value the company, to be sure that the right value, to select it, and then to offer inventories at the counterpart of a portion of equity. So that's the way we see it, and of course there are specific rules per country, but not very different, and we've been working with all the other TV of the alliance, and we don't see any specific constraints for us as compared to what they are doing. Concerning LCI, yes, you are right. We have first, to answer your question, we have first to wait for operators. We have sent letters asking them to agree on continuing their present contract. So we will wait for their answer. Assuming that they will answer, and hopefully because of the Supreme Court position, we can expect some answer from them, we will go on as long as the operator's contract will operate. And for 2015, we will have, depending on the timing of the continuing contract, we'll have in H1 50% of losses. We will have in 2014 for H1 if we wait till June on a pro rata basis. I mean, if we have to wait less, or if we have, I don't think that it makes sense to have a contract we would continue on a monthly basis. So that's whether 6 months, 12 months, and we'll have a pro rata basis depending on when the Supreme Court will decide. The process being that the Supreme Court, whether will come back on the decision or not, if they decide that the decision has to be reviewed by our regulators, that takes a longer time. So we have to take into account all the process, which could be whether, depending on the Supreme Court decision, could be whether longer or shorter, if I may say, and we will act and take a decision in compliance and consistent with this timing.
Perfect. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I think that, is there any question?
We have no more questions.
All right. Well, thank you to all of you. Thank you for your question. And have a good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. Thank you all for your attending. You may now disconnect.